Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love: How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. As most of you know by now, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight is my co-host and producer, Nicole. The show could not be done without her. Her job is incredibly hard, and she does it very well. Nicole's a beautiful young woman. She's a writer, she's an entrepreneur, and she's a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, tonight we're going to take your calls. We're looking really forward to hearing from you, to answering your questions about love. And, of course, I am the romance whisperer. I do speak to people who cross over. They come through to just illuminate what's going on in your life, to let you know they're watching over you, and to give you lots of love. We are coming into the Memorial Day weekend, and that's wonderful. It kicks off summer. But let's not forget that it's also a holiday rooted in war, honoring those women and men who have died in the service of our country. And those of you who know, one of my missions is that of world peace, because if we can't make peace in our own homes and in our own heart, how could be the peace in the whole world? So let's pray for world peace, and let's just pray for those families who have lost their loved ones. Now, Nicole, I can see we've already got a lot of callers. And,
I usually
ask you how your week's going, what's happening in
your
world.
You know what? Don't even, guys, my week is great. Cindy, let's just jump into the first call.
Okay, good. I didn't want to neglect you, my dear.
No, don't even worry about it. And as usual, because we're just starting out, I did not get a chance to screen the first one, so we're just going to go over to the 803 area code. Hello, you're on the air with Cindy.
Hi, how are you doing this evening?
Very good. And who are you? And what's your name, your first name?
My name is David.
Okay, David. Do you have a question that you had in mind for us?
Yes. I spoke with you about, I believe, I want to say a month and a half to almost
that's
two
what
months
I,
ago.
That's what I remember. And where were you from?
I'm from Jersey, but I go to college in South Carolina.
Okay. All right. And you had asked us about your relationship?
Yeah. You told me before that you didn't think it might work. And lo and behold, it didn't work.
I never want to be the bearer of bad news. It's one of the hardest things about being a psychic, because you sometimes have to tell people things that they'd rather not hear. But I need to tell you, you've got a really great soulmate card coming up in here. You're about ready to really meet someone. There's a little bit of anxiety here. I can see that you feel pretty betrayed by what happened. But are you learning the lessons in why this relationship didn't work?
Yes, it got to be 50-50.
That's right. And, you're an old soul. By that, I mean you've had many, many lifetimes. And old souls are givers. We give and we give and we give. Unfortunately, we tend to have takers gravitate to us. And at this point, if you could learn that it's equal give and take, that's a really important message. And you're young yet. To learn that now is really wonderful. Most of us learn it after 20 years of marriage, if we've been married to a taker. One day we wake up and we go, what about me? So that's an important lesson. In the future, there really is this wonderful relationship. There's a happy family life. Are you experiencing the anxiety? Because it is showing up in this picture.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Another thing I want to ask you. I've had it, like, my whole life, and it's worse when it's warm outside. I don't know if that has something to do with, like something traumatic happened when I was younger or in a past life or something. It's just when the summertime hits, I just get, my anxiety and depression gets worse.
You get, well, anxiety and depression, David, are dark angels. When we don't hear our angels of light speaking to us, and they usually tell us things like, you know, this relationship's not working, or this person's, you know, cheating on us, or someone's, you know, betraying us. Sometimes we don't want to hear our own intuition. And when we don't hear it, your angels and guides have no choice but to give you anxiety and depression because you can't ignore it. Am I right? You have to realize there's a problem when you have anxiety. You have to realize there's a problem when you have depression. And as you begin to address the fact that perhaps you're not living life exactly the way you want to be doing it, or maybe you've been loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty, or you're tending not to want to see the truth about people, we tend to block the guidance. And depression is anger turned inward and a feeling of hopelessness. And older souls like you who are good people and kind people tend to not think that anger is a valid emotion. So we tend to, you know, be more in touch with our real feelings. We are depressed. We are sad. We are mourning the loss of someone or something. But sometimes anger is the right emotion. And
mine's,
perhaps
mine's come from, like, a lot of pain because I was in a bad car accident 3 years ago, and I suffered from, what do they call it, myofascial pain syndrome. It's just like your muscles basically wrap around in constant spasm, and they send a bad signal to your brain. Like, it's like it's attacking your nervous system, basically, because your muscles are spasm constantly, and it's like, how would I put it? It's like drinking a pot of coffee every morning, and
right,
it's
and
that
you have,
feeling.
And you have that. There is a mind-body connection, so some of it can be healed as you're less stressed out. You know, some of your that tension may leave, even though it's, you know, it has a physical component to it. The mind-body makes it worse. But if you would begin to just get in touch with when you're feeling anxiety, because it's usually probably like predictable at some level. Sometimes we just have free-floating anxiety, but it's really, you know, David finding out who he is. And as you begin to, you know, say, well, I'm going to really find out what's on my mind and what I'm thinking and getting to know myself better, the anxiety and depression could lessen. But right now, of course, you have an end of a relationship. Anybody feels anxiety at the end of that. You know, that would be a normal response. But your cards are really very good, by the way. I mean, nice things are on the horizon for you. You know, the anxiety and depression may be something that will travel with you in your life, but usually it's just trying to let us know there is something that we need to be addressing. You are going to have a nice love coming, so, you know, keep your eyes open. Right now, it would be good for you just to heal before you jump into the frying pan again. Are you trying to do that?
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to, you know, how would I say it, relax. Just try to get my mind right, like gather myself together.
Right, and that would be a very good thing. When we learn to stand on our own two feet, that's really when the prince or princess comes. And your cards are good money-wise in the future. You're going to make good money. There's nice love. And, of course, with the ending of the relationship, eventually you'll learn to bless it and let it go and realize that not all relationships are meant to last forever. And if you learn the lessons in it, and one of them is you can't keep giving and giving, and other things are you can't rescue somebody, you can't fix them, your unconditional love isn't going to make a bad person a good person unless they're willing to do their inner homework. So, you know, in the future, just know that a soulmate love is coming, and I hope that gives you some comfort because that's one of the greatest gifts that we can get.
It does. Do you see any family members trying to come through for me?
Basically, there's actually I think it's a cousin of yours. Did you lose a cousin? Your cousin is basically telling you you're being watched over, you're loved, and that you were a really good person growing up. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I really didn't do too much crazy things.
Right, and that, you know, be at peace. There's also an older woman, I think it was one of your grandmas. And you know, she's also just smiling down at you and telling you you have a really good future, that you were always a good boy. And, of course, the grandparents tend to call us boys and girls, no matter how old we are. But those are the main people coming through immediately just to comfort you and asking you not to beat yourself over the head with worry so much. And, again, There's also a grandfather. Do you remember one of your grandfathers?
I had one grandfather that passed over, well, that I has passed over while I was alive. My great-grandfathers died before I was born.
Right. And, again, most of your ancestors are just supportive of you. They're going to gift you with someone to love. So just keep your eyes open for that. And just talking about your anxiety can sometimes help. Just know that you're not alone. There's a lot of people that experience anxiety. It's really fear. And getting in touch with what we're feeling all this fear about. And, you know, sometimes we're just worrying too much about the future. You know, try to concentrate.
Does that carry over, like, from lifetime to lifetime? Because I believe in, like...
It can be. It can be from a past life, definitely. Those people that died during World War II and are reincarnated now have great amounts of anxiety. They died young. Their lives were truncated, and it was pretty traumatic. Any person
who... Was my past life anything like that, or...
Yeah, you definitely have past lives rooted in war, and that's why it's interesting that you're calling on Memorial Day weekend, because that is people who've died in wars oftentimes have a lot of anxiety. So, you know, try to get in touch with anybody who's listening. If you want to get in touch with your past life, when you watch a movie that's about a particular era of, you know, the Civil War or World War II or ancient Greece or Rome, those are usually... ringing true to us, and we recognize that lifetime. Any period of history that we like is usually very much influenced by our past lives. So if you could explore what parts of history or what movies intrigue you of the past, you can usually start pinpointing a lot of your past lives and even your interest. If you have interest in ancient Egypt or you know, a different culture, that usually pinpoints one of your lifetimes. Well, we do have a lot of callers, so I want to make sure we get on to our next caller, and good luck to you.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and call us again and let us know how you're doing.
I will.
Okay, happy Memorial Day.
All right, Cindy, we ready?
Sure.
All right, we're going to move on to Jason in Atlanta, and he'd like to know where his relationship is going.
Okay.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, yes, how are you, Damon?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I wouldn't say pretty good. I'm actually in a mode of my relationship is really rocky right now. I do have a gay relationship. And what I'm asking is, I just need some kind of direction in where this relationship is going and what's happening with my life at this time and moment, if that makes sense to you.
Okay, sure. And how long has this relationship been in play now?
It's been going about 3.5 years.
3.5 years? Okay,
yes.
So that's not really a new relationship. That's something that's been going on for a while. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. So as you're working through into your fourth year, usually we need to, you know, examine our relationships and figure out where we want to take them and go with them. Seems to be have started out to be a very good relationship. Did it start out well?
Yes, it did. It started out really well.
Because
yes.
It definitely was, you know, had a soulmate capacity to it. Still can have that. But, you know, love is like a ladder. So we get soulmate love. And most relationships start out looking good. We don't go in thinking, oh, good, you know, she's going to rip my heart out. Oh, good, he's going to cheat on me. We go in, you know,
yes.
With loving heart, soul, mind, and body. And after a while, we tend to duplicate a lot of dysfunctional patterns we've learned growing up from our parents and we've seen in the world. And we start sort of dragging it down from soulmate to something else. It can be sometimes toxic, we're really angry, or mediocre love. Sometimes I love you and sometimes I hate you. And we just take each other for granted. At this point,
mm-hmm.
It looks like you do need to put a little work into your relationship. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am. I'm very aware of that. It's
okay.
Getting to the point where, you know, I'm wanting to get up and go, but I don't want to because I love him so much.
Right, because you, because the relationship appears to have gotten, you know, where the two of you are pretty angry at each other. And, again, we do have to relive our parents' marriage, the one we saw before the age of 5. And that's not good news if our parents had bad marriages. You know, because you wonder, why would I want to duplicate that mess? But it is because children are extremely judgmental, and they sit and you know, think, if I were married, I'd never do that. If I were married, I'd know how to love him better. But what happens is you're not only reliving your parents' marriage, but your soulmate's parents' marriage, and sometimes it gets to be a real toxic mess. At this point, your relationship it will come to an end if you don't start bringing it back up the ladder of love by learning to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it, being truthful.
Yeah, that sounds the way to relate. That's how I can be. But he can be the same way, too. And I try to be the one with the balance to work things out, you know. And then it's kind of like he don't want to listen, or he just wants his way. I don't know. Do you think that I might possibly, and I'll leave you alone, I know because you've got a lot of callers tonight, do you think that I might eventually, this relationship might just end? What do you think?
Yeah, it looks right now that it's gotten pretty bad to the point that you're actually getting depressed. And you know, when we feel for more than 6 months to a year, I don't know if I should stay or I should go in a relationship, it's usually an indication that you have to leave, not necessarily forever, but we have to say, this is not what I signed on for. And, you know, I need some time and space to see what I feel and to see if we can fix this. And, you know, at this point, you know, because you're only responsible for your behavior, but according to these cards, both of you, you know, it takes two to tango, and this is both of you not being as nice to each other as you could. If you could try to sort of start over and, you know, even if this person curses you out and is mean and nasty, you don't have to be that way back. You know, you won't make excuses for the abuse, but you will not play that game. And see if you can sort of get back in that bedroom and start making love and committing to each other that way and being kinder to each other. Because even if the relationship's going to end, it's very good to end it on a nice note. We don't have to hate somebody to leave them. So don't even go where you're hating this person. And
I don't have a hateful heart. I'm very spiritual.
Right. And again, if you try to fix it, and what I find is when we're in a bad relationship, sometimes we have to try to fix it, or we have to figure out, why was I so mean? What the hell's the matter with me? And, you know, I stayed in the marriage way too long, but part of it was like, I was like, well, why am I allowing this person to push my buttons? Why can't I control my temper? Why can't
That's the way I feel.
So if you could use this relationship as a way to learn how to control your behavior, as a way to maybe forgive your parents for their fighting, and you could see how hard it is for two people who love each other to make it work, and start forgiving people and not judging them, you're definitely going to have a great love in your life. And whether it's this person or another person, you know, I always tell people to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's going to be him, it will be. If it's going to be someone else, so be it. But you do have to do something to this. To do nothing when a relationship gets toxic is negative karma. And don't wait till God gets in and fixes it, because that's when he gives us wake-up calls and financial disaster, illness, you know, someone cheating. It's never nice. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's always better if in this period of time you take the ball into your court and you say, I didn't sign on for what we have now. I take full responsibility for my part in destroying some of our love, and I'm going to make an effort to build that relationship and bring that love back up the ladder to heart, soul, mind, body, love. And, you know, if your partner's not willing to do it, then you have to acknowledge that, well, this person is not going to learn from you, and you're not learning from him, and, you know, bless it and let it go. But give it, because you have 3.5 years under your belt, you would be asked to give a full 3 months to really try. And then, you know, call us as you're going on in this and let us know how it's doing. And just the fact that you're asking for some help is half the battle, because now your angels and guides will say, okay, we hear you're ready to fix this, or you're ready to fix your life and make it better. And so visualize where your life's going to be a year from now. Visualize yourself with a great love, with financial success, with health and happiness. And let the laws of attraction help manifest that for you. You don't have to have all the answers. That's where we go wrong. We don't have the answers. We don't have a clue. Take it day by day and watch where it goes. But just be a kind for you so that you will stop feeling so guilty and so kicking yourself over and beating yourself up because you don't like the person you've become. And we usually become the person we judge the hardest. If we, you know, I used to judge my father very harshly because he had a really bad temper. Well, I had my own periods of bad temper. So we usually become the person we've judged. So figure out who that person is in your life and forgive that person and, you know, start being, you know, the kind person you know that you are.
Can I ask you one more question? Sure. And I'll leave you alone, Cindy. I was going to ask you, you know, I am spiritual. I do tarot and I read online. And by the way, you're very great. I was going to ask you, do you see any guys, angels around me?
Oh, you have so many. You have so many. And keep studying the tarot because how I got more and more powers was, at first I didn't even believe it, to be honest. I was doing it as an entertainer. And I just studied very hard, lots and lots of books and you know, practiced very hard. And the angels began to give me more powers. And the more you don't misuse them, the more, you know, you're using it for good, the more powers will come. And definitely there are so many spirit guides, you know, particularly from another lifetime watching over you. You've had a lifetime in which you were very, very psychic. And in this lifetime, you've been a little bit afraid of it. So know that you won't misuse your powers, but sometimes we don't want to hear our guidance, so we sort of block it all. Just be really open and receptive to what will be given to you.
Yeah. It's kind of like my guides and angels, they talk to me all the time, and kind of like with the relationship, they've been trying to give me guidance. And like you said before I come on air, you know, you don't listen to your guides, it's basically when you end up depressed and sad. And see, that's what happens with me. Yeah, that made a lot of sense to me. So, yeah.
Right, so you just you keep praying for that and praying for a lot of guidance in your relationship. And watch it go. Turn your love life over to God and let God give you what's called waking dreams, things that will show you he's not going to heal or he is going to heal. You know what I'm saying? Let the universe reveal all to you, and just say, you know, show me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm ready to go there. But start, you know, from a place of forgiveness of each other. And a good place to start is in the bedroom. Get, you know, try to get back making love and being passionate, because that's always a good place.
Okay, honey. Well
good luck
pleased
to you, and call in again, and we'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much, and happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, you too, honey. Have a good night, Cindy.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, I see we've got a lot of callers tonight.
Got so many callers tonight, it's not even funny. All right, we are going to shoot over to Bodie in New York right now, and she's actually looking for a specific message, perhaps from her grandparents, regarding the relationship that she's in, and she'd like to know how she can make her relationship work and what he feels for her. So right now we're shooting over to Bodie. Hello, you're on the air?
Hi, hello.
Hi, Bodie. About how old are you right now? How old are you?
I'm over 30,
okay.
Like halfway over.
Okay, good, because there's generational karma, and, you know, your generation are major, major commitment phobic, so sometimes trying to figure out where a relationship going in your generation is much harder than for other people. You have grandparents that are telling me when you were a young girl you had a lot of courage.
Okay.
You could use some of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely going to have a marriage in the future. That's here. Your grandparents tend to give you signs, particularly a grandmother. Do you sense her near you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she gives a lot of signs. Do you have a piece of her jewelry or something? Because she'd wanted you to have you have something of hers?
Yeah, my mother has it now. It's a ring.
Okay, because she wants you to get the ring from your mother.
Oh, I will get it, okay.
Because it's energy for you, and she wants you to know she's very, very near. You took your grandparents' death very hard, particularly your grandmother's. She appears to have been a close influence in your life. She is going to see your wedding, and there is a really, really good love here. How long have you been with this person that you're talking about now?
Since March 4th.
Okay. It looked like it went sort of started out pretty strong.
Uh-huh.
Is it still going strong?
Well, yeah. No, right now, no.
Okay, because it did look like it started out with great potential, by the way.
Yeah.
And, again, that's the hard part. Why, you know, when you're driving in the car or, you know, wherever we're driving, we hear, you know, so many songs about the love that got away, which seems pretty odd. You know, why is love getting away? People are tending to take love that starts out good, and pretty soon they don't want it to be that. They want it to be less so, because they don't want to heal. And if you keep love a little mediocre or toxic, or you deliberately limit how close you can get, all of a sudden it's not soulmate love anymore. He has strong feelings for you. Are you aware of that?
When I'm communicating with him, it feels real, very real.
But he's deliberately doing the commitment phobic thing. And every radio show we deal with commitment phobia here. And if I sound redundant, it's because we're not all that unique, and I can't stress this enough.
Uh-huh.
You know, the genius that was given to me is an ability to see patterns of behavior, and there's not that many of them. None of us are very unique. We're all a combination of commitment phobia, you know, and unhealed issues and our parents' dysfunction that they learned from their parents and their parents and their parents. But your generation is such major commitment phobics, sometimes they can't even call it relationships. And my Nicole over there better stop laughing. She can't even call whatever she's got going on anything. She doesn't even call it a booty call. She doesn't even go that far. So,
no,
you know,
no.
She doesn't even call it a friend with benefit or anything, you know.
No,
so,
I'm calling it something that needs a little bit more time before it has a label.
Okay, so again, that's your generation. They can't even commit to a relationship. Okay, so, I mean, she's laughing, but it's, you know, he's had a bad relationship. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And that seems to be coloring his behavior, because anybody that's had a bad relationship, you know, we don't go in the, you know, it's not the Beauty and the Beast story. I say this every week. It's not the beast that becomes the prince or the princess. You know, it's really the princess or the prince that becomes the beast. So at some level, you know, he doesn't, you know, trust what he sees. But he is deliberately trying to limit how close you can get.
Okay.
And are you willing to sign on for that with a person who can't communicate to you? Because it's not very healthy, because soulmate love is two equals, a male and a female, or two males or two females that are two equals.
Mm-hmm.
Two people that, you know, not one person calls the shots. When you feel like he doesn't want to communicate, you're running a master-slave archetype where he pretty much tells you how far to jump.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. So, you know, you might want to have a talk with him. I mean, part of you is afraid he's going to run away. But with commitment phobics, they're either going to run today or they're going to run 6 months or a year from now or 2 years. It's sometimes better to know in the beginning what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, when I communicate with him, it's all good. But I think the fact that you said that he's deliberately taking a big distance distance is just, I don't feel him completely gone. But
no, but they artificially, you know, they go, this is commitment phobics, they go in a relationship gung-ho. You know, they're loving us heart, soul, mind, and body. They're communicating. They're loving us like nobody does. And then as soon as they've got us, they start, you know, now I'm not going to see you every day. I'm going to see you every 4 days. I'm not going to see you every 4 days. I'm going to see you every 10 days. I'm not going to call you every day. I'm going to call you every 12 days.
Should I just act like him and just, you know, disappear myself?
With commitment phobics, you sometimes, I'll tell you the truth. I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, because I fell in love with a supreme commitment phobic. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, almost whatever you do is wrong. That whatever you do, you know, they don't want a higher love. That's the point. And so if you're loving them and understanding, giving them space, that scares them. If you pull away, then they're going to say, okay, well, she doesn't care about me that much. I'm going to run. Basically, I tell people to follow your heart. If you want this man, you're best to say the truth. And I really want us to see each other more. I want to be able to communicate. If this is the way you want it, it's not what I signed on for. And that, and then not to communicate, not your generation texts, you know, they call, they email. You need to not have the communication so that he could feel the loss of you.
Yeah, you're right. I'm like basically sending him a message every other day or every 5 days. You know, it's like I'm doing
You're doing. But, and you didn't come this. We didn't come this far in liberation to have a man call the shots. You know, that was the final straw for me. And I. And if you can understand, people are not rejecting us. They're oftentimes rejecting the higher love we offer. Don't take it personally.
I agree with that.
You don't take it personally.
Well, I want to know how to. Well, I am. I am really sad. I'm sad. First of all, he's going through a really big problem. It's huge, and he's basically wants to take care of that before he.
And again, commitment phobics either have a big problem. They always have something. You know, love comes at the right time. If God brought him love now, it's to help him with his big problem.
Yeah, he said that too. He said it's he said the same things like you're saying right now. And that's why it's so hard for me to just be like, "Oh, I need another love. I'm done."
And that's not doing that, but it's asking him that, you know, the true course of love isn't that we're intimate and then all of a sudden we're less intimate. The true course of love is we're intimate and we grow deeper in intimacy.
Yeah.
And you can see this is artificial, and it's setting up an artificial time frame, and he's finding excuses. But what I've learned is I don't make excuses for people's abuse. We're close, and, you know, I'm here to recharge your battery and love you and make your life better.
Yeah.
I'm not here to be another problem or a pain in your ass. So if you're treating me like that, then suddenly I'm saying, no, then we're not a force together. Soulmates are two people that really, you know, are there for each other and help each other and support each other, and they grow closer in times of crisis. They don't grow further apart.
Yep.
So, you know.
He just saw that I was worrying for him, and he didn't want me to worry for him, and then he just didn't want to make me more miserable either, and he didn't want me to get hurt, and then he took more distance. It was just like just the whole thing.
But again, commitment phobics play God. I didn't. You didn't ask him to watch out for you getting hurt. You're a big girl. If you're getting hurt, you'll speak up. You know, don't protect me.
He's acting like a dad. He's acting like a father figure.
Well, that's also a master slave. It's a superior to an inferior, a parent to a child. It's not two equals.
It was equal, and then it turned out to be it went like that. Yeah.
Well, people always relive their parents' marriage. You know, he learned this in his family. His grandfather passed away that said he learned this in his family, that the men were the bosses. You know, and at this point, it isn't him to protect you. You're a grown-up, you know, and you need to start, you know, I'm not insulting by saying you have to act like one. I'm basically saying it's up to you to tell him, I'm a grown-up. I can take care of myself. I can watch out for my feelings. I'll tell you when you're hurting me. And that... This way, you're not asking him to be that role. And it's starting out to be honest. And with commitment phobics, they can do that dance indefinitely. So that's why, you know, if you want to move it forward or if you want to see what's there, you know, then you need to speak your mind. If he's not happy with it and you're being honest and open, well, the universe will appreciate that you want a committed relationship and one in which, you know, you communicate on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And that will be here for you. And, you know, it doesn't mean it's over yet, but it means, you know, he's a person, if you try to get closer right now, that, you know, commitment phobics are like caged animals.
Yeah, I think what was the bad in the relationship that he used to have? Because it was, I think they were, like, committed and, I don't know.
It was bad. There was somebody cheating on somebody in these cards, so it wasn't good.
And she was cheating on him.
Yeah. And that made him now not ever wanting to go there again, you know, put his heart out on the line there. But again, we don't make excuses for people's abuse. You're not the one who hurt him.
Is he exactly? And I'm not that type. So he found somebody that's just completely not like that.
Right. And I don't know. And the universe brought him exactly what he wished for. And, you know, the truth of the matter, he wasn't a relationship that wasn't truly committed. It wasn't committed heart, soul, mind, and body. They didn't, you know, it was a lower level of love that cheating becomes something that people do because they're not fully loved heart, soul, mind, and body.
Yeah.
So don't be fooled when people say, well, you know, I was married or I was in a long-term relationship. It doesn't mean they were committed heart, soul, mind, and body.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, that's what throws us off. A man has been married 20 years. Well, he's not afraid of commitment. Yeah, but he cheated on his wife 12 times. That's not committed, you know.
No. And would he do anything like that with me, you think?
Well, it doesn't look like it, but commitment phobics sometimes have one foot with you and one foot with someone else. They're texting somebody else or talking or,
yeah,
you know, not putting 2 feet there.
Do you think he's reading my emails because he hasn't been responding to them?
Yes, that's another thing commitment phobics do. They don't even commit to an answer.
Anymore,
because they don't want to screw it up, because they don't want to drag it down the ladder of love to toxic, because that will destroy it.
Yes.
They oftentimes just don't do anything. And that becomes where they become the master and we're the slave, because we're just waiting for what they're going to say and do. So if he's, you know, soulmates are friends first and foremost, and the way we treat our friends is the way we should treat our soulmates. And if you emailed your friend, he or she would respond back.
Definitely.
And so this
most
is already becoming toxic. Do you understand? And that,
yeah,
you could say to him, you know, if we have any kind of relationship or any hope for one, I need to feel that you're responding to me in a timely fashion. And because that's only respectful.
Yeah, I agree.
So again, soulmates should be friends as well as lovers. So these are lessons that we have to learn, and we have to, you know, say, it's, you know, old souls tend to say, oh, it's okay, you did it to me, I can take it. That has to stop. It's not okay he's not answering your emails. It's really not okay. It doesn't feel okay, and, you know, we have to get in touch with our feelings.
I don't know what to say. I can say something. If we have any type of friendship, then I would appreciate it.
Yes, you say what you mean, and you're not mean about it, but you're going to say, you know, friends do respond to friends. And, you know, that's something that, you know, if he's not happy about it, because he needs to call all the shots, and commitment phobics need to call all the shots.
Well, I had another commitment phobic before him, and that was, I didn't even, like, we connected and not, I don't know, it was very difficult, but that was, he was exactly like that. He wasn't responding.
And now you see what you didn't learn from the first guy, you're going to learn from this one, an emotionally distant man or a person who doesn't want a higher love is going to keep running from it, and that's not the natural course of love. And how long were you with the other commitment phobic?
Yeah, almost more than half a year.
Okay, at this point now, the universe is saying, do you want to wait another half a year to find out this guy's a commitment phobic, or should you find out now?
Yeah, I want to find out now.
So by being gentle and by, you know, just saying this is not what I'm signing on for, and see what he has to say and be nice about it. And basically,
he probably has nothing to say to it.
Well, that's a true commitment phobic. They say nothing.
Because
so,
I don't know if he's like reading my. He's in a situation where he. I don't want to go into it,
but,
because it's not even. It's not good. So
see he's really, but also, why is he in that situation? Is he taking responsibility for why his life is such a mess?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good.
I hope. I don't know for 100%, but I'm pretty sure he's seriously involved right now.
Okay, good. Again, call us in a few weeks, or, you know, as soon as you talk to him, you know, and let us know what his response was. But in order for us to have a higher love, we can't fear abandonment. We can't fear someone leaving us. We have to say, I'm better off standing on my own 2 feet than I am to be in a relationship where I'm not
equal. I can say that to myself, but it doesn't work that way at all with me. Like,
well, it doesn't work that way with any of us. But eventually, somewhere along the line, we get it. It may take a few months. It may take a few weeks. It may take a few years. But eventually we say, I deserve better than this, and that I'm not settling.
Of course, I believe that, too. I believe that, too. I'm just being patient with him because his situation is extraordinary, and I don't know. I clicked with him. It was like heaven on earth. So.
And that's why, because it started out.
And it wasn't sleeping with him. I haven't slept with him yet, so that's not why it was heaven on earth.
Right. So this way, you know, give it some time, and you know, but sort of see if you can connect with him more, and he doesn't run from you.
Yeah. How do I do that?
By just, you know, saying the words that we said and see how he responds to them. And if he needs space, you can give him space, but you just want him to say that. I need space, or, you know, and then
yeah.
See how, what
I think
that...
It takes a while. I think it takes a while for him to really get what I'm saying. I think it will take some time for him to really understand this clear, loud and clearly, and take it in. I think it's hard for him to understand what a relationship is. I think it's hard for him to get that.
Well, the true course of love is as easy as, you know, it can be. We're making it hard.
I'm willing to work with him, but I will see how far I come.
good, and let us know what happens. We always like to hear.
Yeah, I like your show a lot. I will definitely call back.
Oh, thanks. And if you listen long enough, you'll hear that your problem come over and over, because we all have the same problem. So, you know,
yeah.
You can't state this stuff enough, because it takes a long time to clear out all our errors in thinking that we've learned about love and relationships.
Yeah.
So eventually it does sink through and change something. Correct, Nicole?
Absolutely.
Except for commitment phobia, but that's another story.
Well, commitment phobia is always going to be reoccurring.
I'm commitment phobic, too. I told him that I don't need, like, everyday communication, because I have a commitment phobic, too.
I know, but that's why you're a closet one, and eventually you're going to find out. If you keep picking classic commitment phobics, you know, you're going to one day say, then I have to overcome my own commitment phobia so I can get somebody who wants to put 2 feet in this and make it work.
Yeah, that's scary.
I know, so
that's
really
why
I said scary. I'm glad she admitted she was a
I don't think I'm ready for that. That makes life real, and now I can still be
okay.
In my fantasy.
Consequently, why she's had 2 commitment phobics in a row.
Yeah, hello. This is
phobic
speaking outside.
The light just went off.
Closet.
You know, well, that's a good piece of knowledge for you to hold. And anybody who knows my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there's a whole step on commitment phobia, the 3 kinds, closet phobics like you who are kind of, you know, just don't wear it on their sleeves, the classic ones that say, oh, I'm never going to get involved, I don't want to, and run like hell, and then the committed commitment ones, the ones who marry and actually appear to commit but never really commit heart, soul, mind, and body.
That's the saddest part.
Yes,
Cindy, on that
note,
I have to say one thing about commitment phobia. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You just said 3 different things about commitment phobics, but what is it called? Like, what is, like, my version of commitment phobia right now? Because I flat out
Nicolophobia.
But I'm just saying, I flat out told my friend, I'm a commitment phobe, and she said, you know what, me too. So we both said, so what does that make it?
Well, that means you're going to be together 20 years, but you're never going to say the R word, relationship.
Well, up there, that's fine, because you know what, we're gay, we couldn't be together anyway legally, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If at least half the battle is knowing that you have it and then tiptoeing toward each other. Rather than what happens is a true commitment phobic jumps in, loves you, wines and dines you, wins your heart, and then runs like hell. That's the painful one. If you're 2 people who are tiptoeing forward each day a little bit more forward, all of a sudden one day you'll be swimming in that love pool and you won't even know how you got there. And that's good. As long as the relationship progresses forward, that's a key to 2 people that are overcoming their fears.
Okay, fine then.
Okay, I'm happy that I told you that.
Okay, good.
I think we better move on
because
we've got like 8,000 callers.
We've got like a million callers. I don't know. Okay, we're going to go down to South Carolina right now. We're going to speak to Chris out in Orangeburg. And basically he just wants to know if you see any ladies coming his way, you know, any ladies on the horizon for this summer.
Okay, that's a good
one. Hello, Chris, are you there?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay, we like that we get a lot of male callers. We like that the men are looking for love. There is a relationship coming. Did you get out of one not too long ago?
No.
Because there's...
I've just been kind of by myself lately, I guess.
Okay, because are you ready for love?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because half the battle is us saying we're actually ready for love. And how old are you, by the way?
I'm 33.
Okay, so we're in that commitment phobes again. Have you ever had a relationship that lasted?
Not really. I was jealous if they were jealous, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So now, did you learn anything from that relationship?
Yeah. Don't trust people, I guess.
Don't trust people. Okay, that's
don't,
never
don't,
the...
Don't, like, give all your... don't lose yourself in somebody else.
Okay. And part of it is that... trust is an issue that, you know, you really do need for love, and I could see that you were involved in a relationship where the person didn't necessarily play very fair with you, and it was hurtful.
Yeah.
But that was how long ago now?
That was a while ago now.
Okay, because, you know, your generation tends to, you know, get hurt and stay out of the, you know, the love pool for way too long. Have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like, your ideal person?
Yep.
Okay, because the more specific you can be, the better. You do need a little bit of courage because this is going to come. Are you making efforts to meet somebody at all?
Well, I just started going back to church, so I was on
okay,
the church.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
And this woman appears to be very spiritual. She's a person who is looking for a lasting relationship. Are you ready for a lasting relationship?
Yeah.
And she is a woman who does want to get married and have children. Is that in your five-year plan here?
Sure.
Okay, good, because that's important because a lot of times, you know, your generation gets love and then they're not really ready for it, but...
Right.
You have the Wheel of Fortune spinning, which is a five-year period in which anything you want is yours, relationship-wise. It's like the Wheel of Fortune. It's a gift from God. You've got to be a good person to get this gift.
Okay.
And have you forgiven your last relationship, the person? You know, you don't have to necessarily forgive all the actions, but it would be nice if you forgave the person.
I haven't.
Okay.
I've tried to, but it was real bad.
Okay, who was the jealous one?
Me.
Okay, and in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there's 19 steps to a higher love. Besides commitment phobia, there's a step on jealousy, because jealousy is something that very few of us are ever free of, but it when it gets to be, you know, jealousy is like a ladder. When it gets to be up there high on the ladder, it's almost pathological, and it can destroy
right.
relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we don't own people.
Right.
And did this person give you reasons to be jealous?
I don't know. It's a real weird situation.
Okay, because, again, jealousy comes from within, and it has actually nothing to do with love, not really. I mean, it has to do with us being afraid of losing something that we want, but you can be ending a relationship that's horrible, a horrible divorce, and you find that your mate found somebody else. You can experience jealousy, but that really doesn't have to do with that you love that person. It has to do with our own self-esteem issues. And jealousy tends to get really big when we're having bad self-esteem moments. And, you know, jealousy comes and goes in life. There's periods of some people who make us feel more jealous than other people, their behaviors. Sometimes we're just not feeling good about ourselves, and jealousy comes to play. Jealousy isn't always a bad thing if it, you know, sometimes if our mates, you know, suddenly, you know, someone finds them very attractive, we can say, well, maybe I'm taking my mate for granted. Maybe I better, you know, stick 2 feet in here and make it work. Have you come to terms with dealing with your own jealousy? Because it will, again, rear its ugly head in another in your next relationship if you don't, you know, come to understand some of the roots of your jealousy.
Okay.
And that's an important issue. Nicole, do you have anything to say about the jealousy thing?
Yeah, actually. I've gone through stages in my life where I've been extremely, extremely jealous, and then stages where I just didn't care. You know, I was just completely indifferent. The only thing that I can possibly say in regards to keeping that in check is just to keep reminding yourself, like Cindy said, A, it has nothing to do with love. It has to do more so with fear, but B, you have to be a stronger person, and you have to think more of yourself, because what I find is that in any circumstance where I was really, really jealous, it had nothing to do with what the other person was doing or what the other person, you know, could have gotten or wasn't getting, or, you know, it had more to do with the fact that I was insecure with my relationship. I didn't feel worthy of my relationship. I didn't feel like I deserved my relationship, and I was always in constant fear of losing that relationship. And ultimately, in my relationship, it was jealousy played a major, major factor in the loss of that relationship, because I couldn't get myself under control, because I was always afraid of losing something, that it became kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy where, guess what, I lost it, and that was the reason why. I was so afraid to lose it that it's ultimately what I did, you know, so... What I've kind of learned to do in my experience with that is whenever I start getting those feelings welling up, it's like I sit there and I rationalize them to myself. And I just sit there and I say, okay, fine, well, I'm feeling this and that, and why am I feeling this, you know? And I actually sit there and I try to identify what I'm feeling when I'm feeling it. And by doing that, I kind of get my reassurances. I talk to the other person. I kind of say, hey, listen, you know, the other day when you said this, I was kind of like, you know, I felt this way about it. And then guess what? We had a conversation, and, you know, things get clarified, and I feel better about the situation. So the only thing I can tell you is just to be as communicative as possible, and that it does not exclude yourself. You know, you need to talk with yourself every now and then, and you need to really examine what you're feeling, because going to be secure, you need to be secure with you first, right, if you're going to be secure in a relationship.
And in what was your parents' marriage like, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look too good from these cards.
Yeah.
And again, we judge our parents. We sit and we think, oh, God, if I were married, I'd never cheat on my mate. Or if I were married, I'd never fight like that. I'd never do this. Pretty much you've done your parents' mess here. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Now looking back on it.
Okay. And once that pattern is revealed to us, we can, you know, it's not the grown 33-year-old that's still judging the parents so much. It is really the little 3- and 4-year-old who says, you know, I'd never fight about money. I'd never do this. I'd never do that. Start forgiving your parents and realize, you know, the dysfunction has been going on for thousands of years. Jealousy is a flaw in human beings. It served a purpose historically when, you know, we were cavemen and cavewomen, and we really needed to protect our mate or our husbands who were bringing home the food for our children. And a man needed a healthy woman to bring him, you know, healthy babies that would help him and children. So, you know, there's a root of it, but all of this dysfunction is going on for thousands of years. And so if you can start to analyze how you became, you know, your dad at some level, I don't think you ever wanted to be that, by the way. if you can judge, oh, man, how did I become that crazy guy? Well, it's because we judged our parents very, very harshly. And if you can understand, well, maybe I know why my father got insecure, or maybe I know why he did, doesn't mean it makes it right. But in doing it, we have to say, holy shit, I became that person. I can't believe I did that. Where did that come from? So if you can analyze...
Somebody's coming, but I might mess it up with my jealousy.
Right, and that's why I said, she's actually a very gentle and loving being, but you will scare the hell out of her with your jealousy. So what you can do is begin to tell her, look, I have this thing with jealousy, and I know it's something I'm going to work on. So when it rears its ugly head, you know, I'm going to, like, walk away and sort of think about it. And jealousy gets really bad with alcohol. Do you drink?
Yeah, I've been sober now.
Okay, that's the difference. Because if you combine jealousy with alcohol, you've got a nuclear explosion.
What?
You know, the two things together are really toxic emotions.
Yeah.
And so being sober is one of the things that now you know you're not a very good drunk, and that, you know, that if you, the being sober, there's a lot of lessons in that. Are you seeing them in there?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Okay, and again,
I thank God every night I stopped drinking. I used to be kind of like a monster, I guess.
Okay, well,
not really a monster, but like really loud.
We all have a monster in us. That's okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're young enough to learn. I need to control my temper. I need not to drink. I need to forgive my father. I need to realize I know not only became him, I became worse. I need to start realizing that, you know, you're going to church and, you know, you pray to, you know, give the people that have hurt you, and just turn it over to God and start saying, why don't you bring me a woman to love, a good woman, and make me be a good man to love her back. And, you know, you'll be surprised if you don't drink how much the jealousy will be much, much better. You know, it is a bad combination.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck to you, and please call us and let us know when this beautiful soulmate surfaces.
Okay.
And thanks for
joining
us.
Thank you a lot. I appreciate
it. We hope
it
helped you, and Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you, Chris.
I think we barely have time for one more call, but let's...
We barely have time for another caller, so I'm just going to say right now to those to the listeners that if we do get cut off, then you could always hear the tail end of Cindy's next reading on the podcast, and that podcast is located at www.blogtalkradio.com/higher-love. Okay, so Cindy, for the last call of the evening, and again to everybody that I could not get to, I do apologize. We will try our best to get to you guys next week. Please call again. And we're going to go over to Connecticut right now, Cindy, and we're going to speak to Woody. And he'd like to know if he has a long-term relationship coming.
Okay, we love those questions. Hi, Woody.
Oh, I love those questions. Wait.
I know, we love it.
Woody, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, Woody. What I see is he's another one blessed with a wonderful 5-year period opening up. Do you visualize the lasting relationship? Do you see that now? Can you see it manifesting? Because there's a really loving one person in the cards. And again, it's you. You know, it looks like you're working pretty hard. Are you working hard?
Right now? Yeah.
Okay, because now it's starting to look like you're realizing there's more to life than hard work. And that's where this love is going to come. It's a very good year ahead for you. You need a little bit of courage to let love in. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 29.
29. Okay, so again, you're my daughter's generation. Problem often with your generation is when you're ready to commit, it's hard to find someone who is ready. But you need to pray for that soulmate who will commit to you. She's definitely circling near you. Are you doing anything to meet somebody? I mean, soulmates, you don't have to really make a big thing about it, but you do have to get yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah.
You're starting to kind of get out there.
Yeah.
She's a very loving woman, close to your age. Again, the scary part about it is now you're getting to the age when the person you meet and fall in love with will probably be the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Are you ready to go to that step?
Yeah.
Because there's also children in the future. There's you having a little bit of anxiety and worry surrounding relationship. Did you have one that didn't work out?
Yeah, two children with somebody, yeah.
Uh-huh, and have you kind of learned what you needed to learn from the ending of those relationships?
Yeah.
Because if we don't learn, we just keep getting the same pattern over and over again. And so when we could see what we've done, this love is going to change your whole life, by the way. I mean, this is, you know, something really strong and powerful. You have a friend who passed away. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay, because your friend is basically saying, you know, what are you waiting for? This is a great love coming your way, and your friend is resting in peace, by the way. Your mom worries about you a lot. Are you aware of that?
No.
Because there's a mom worrying here, and not that there's that much to worry about, but she's definitely a worrier. But here's you finding a really... this is a smart woman. She's giving, but she is ready to take it to the next level with a marriage and everything else. So, you know, there's a little bit of mixed messages here in the cards. Like sometimes you're ready and then you sort of not. You really need to, you know, say, if I get a great love this time, I'm going to stick 2 feet in there and make it work. And
okay.
Does it feel like you can do that?
Yeah.
She's a strong woman psychologically, and you are going to be a husband and good source of money here. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. Money looks good, and actually, if you take advantage of this 5-year period, there is another five-year period in which anything you want is yours. So, you know, get ready. It's coming. This summer looks like it should be a summer of love for you. So, you know, just get yourself out there a little bit. Where in Connecticut are you living?
Next to New York.
Are you near Greenwich or?
Milford, yeah. Close to Greenwich, 20 minutes away.
Okay, yeah. No, I graduated from the University of Connecticut, so I'm a UConn girl. So I always have a spot in my heart for Connecticut. So, of course, it is coming, and just get yourself out there and enjoy. And let us know. Call in and let us know, because we love to hear when people's, you know, love is manifesting. And really, when we make up our mind we're ready for love, the universe really brings it and brings it quickly.
Okay.
So good luck to you, and I think we're just about out of time. And,
thank you.
Thanks
everybody who joined us, and Nicole, thank you for everything. And a shout out, do you have, dear, for anybody that you wanted to?
I'm going to do my usual shout out over to Andrew Jack, very, very talented group of musicians. I hope that you guys get a chance to check them out at www.andrewjack.com. And thank you again to all the listeners, and I do again apologize to those who we could not get to tonight, but please keep trying, give us a call back, and I'll make sure that I get to all your calls at some point. So,
and
thank you very much to Cindy, okay? I know that sometimes it takes a lot out of you, Cindy, and you know, you're handling it like a champ, so.
Oh, thanks so much, and everybody have a great Memorial Day, and thanks for all our callers, and keep on listening. Bye.
Bye.